an important thing is to find a slot, a particular place in our daily program when we regularly pray, so that we don't just depend on the whim of the moment, on our passing emotions.
The Apostle Paul told his readers to pray without ceasing. The Old Testament prophet Samuel said to all Israel, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." And Luke introduced Jesus' words by saying, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart."
This is so important in prayer, faithfulness. We grow in prayer through constancy. We may not notice the growth, but if we pray day by day and find a particular place in the day when it's natural for us to pray, then we shall make progress with the help of God's grace.
I like that idea of making progress with my prayer life. Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and I am really looking forward to sharing today's program with you. We are continuing the Lenten series we began last week with Metropolitan Callistos Ware. We started off with the subject of fasting, and this week we move on to prayer. Can you imagine a world where we didn't talk with one another? Well, that, of course, is what it's like when we don't pray. There's no communication between us and Christ. I really like the way Metropolitan Ware put it when he got into his description of prayer.
Some people say, why pray to God? He knows what is best for us. But by praying, we are not so much making God agree with us, but through prayer, we are helped to make ourselves agree with God.
Does that fit your understanding of prayer? Well, there's a lot more on the subject coming up, and I think you'll find yourself taking notes and shaking your head in agreement. I know I did as I was working on today's broadcast. Before we get into that conversation between our host, Father Chris, and Metropolitan Callistos Ware, let me thank you for your prayers for two things specifically. First, as I'm sure most of you know, on Monday, March 10th, more than a dozen Greek Orthodox nuns were released by Syrian rebels. They had been held, along with a small support staff, for more than 4 months. Fortunately, they were treated well and thanked everyone around the world for the prayers on their behalf. We'll have additional details on this story on our website at myocn.net as Emmy Luveris reports this week in Orthodoxy, Orthodox News, worldwide. That's on our homepage at myocn.net. Second, we've been talking a lot about the recent pilgrimage to the Holy Land by over 50 friends and supporters of this ministry, a trip hosted by Father Chris. Thank you for your prayers concerning this journey. What a glorious time they have had. And you can see pictures and videos from those on the pilgrimage on the OCN website. That's myocn.net. There are also some great written travelogues by our host, Father Chris, and others. You can check it all out at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. There are links right there on the homepage. Also, remember, we are a nonprofit outreach. We depend upon your prayer support and your financial participation. There are a number of ways that you can join with us as a financial partner, and they're all right there on the website. Just click on the donate button when you go to the homepage. Again, that's myocn.net. Well, this Lenten series I referred to is in four parts. First, we dealt with fasting. This week, it's prayer. Next week, it will be almsgiving, and we'll wrap up with scripture memorization. Today, as we cover prayer and lead into this week's conversation, I'm going to roll back just a couple of minutes and share a bit of what we ended with last week.
When we think of fasting, we obviously think of food. But is food really what fasting is all about, Your Excellency?
Yes, indeed, we think about food. But clearly, fasting is not just keeping a diet, not just a question of food, what we eat and what we don't eat, though that is a very important part of fasting. I think of some words from the prophet Isaiah. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to let the oppressed go free, to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, cover him, and do not hide yourself from your own flesh. So there, on Isaiah's view, fasting involves the way we treat other people. It involves practical compassion, helping the oppressed and the poor, giving bread to those who are hungry, taking the homeless into our house. So clearly, for Isaiah, the true fast is not just a question of food, but it involves our relationship to our fellow humans. And if we look at the Gospels, Christ talks sometimes just about fasting, yes, but at other times he says prayer and fasting. So what we've really got are three things closely linked: prayer, fasting, and what I'm going to talk about later, almsgiving, meaning acts of merciful compassion, social justice, helping the poor. Those three, then, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, go together. And we can only understand fasting if we see it as related to prayer, and if we see it as related to practical action to help others. Now, what is prayer? When I was 12 years old, I heard a sermon about prayer. The preacher mentioned how there was an old man who used to spend long time each day in church. His friends asked him, "What are you doing?" And he said to them, "I'm praying." "Praying," they said, "you must have a great many things you want to ask from God." And the old man replied with some warmth of feeling, "I'm not asking God for anything." "Well," they said, "what are you doing then all those hours in church?" And the old man replied, "I just sit and look at God, and God sits and looks at me." Now, when I was 12 years old, I thought that was rather a good definition of prayer. I just sit and look at God, and God sits and looks at me. Prayer is not necessarily asking for things, though it may sometimes be that. It does not necessarily mean using words. Fundamentally, prayer means God awareness. St. Gregory of Nyssa speaks of prayer as a sense of presence, God awareness, the realization that I am in God and God is in me. And this can be something all-embracing. That's why St. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. It can be something that's present in everything else we do, a sense that God is with us. So that prayer is not necessarily just an activity set apart. It's something that can be intertwined with the whole of our life. Mm-hmm. Now, if we look at prayer that way, why is it so difficult? To me, the answer is we humans are scattered. We are fragmented. We find it very difficult to be gathered, to be concentrated, single-pointed. We suffer from wandering thoughts. Mm-hmm. I remember reading once in the Reader's Digest the following apophthegma. The people who get things done are the people who do one thing at a time. And I thought, how true. But then I also thought, that's quite difficult to do one thing at a time. And certainly it's difficult in the case of prayer. This fragmentation that I speak of, it's not something that we've deliberately desired for ourselves. I suppose it is a consequence of the fall. Mm-hmm. But this means that in prayer, what is asked of us is regularity, persistence, faithfulness.
And that fragmentation is what's causing that not to happen, isn't it?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
it's
so too.
A strange paradox. Mm-hmm. When something isn't very important, it's not so difficult to concentrate. When we're watching television, we don't suffer particularly from an inability to concentrate and attend to what's happening. If we're reading a serious book, a biography, or a piece of historical writing, then the concentration is more difficult, but not so hard.
Right.
Prayer, which is the most important thing of all, then the concentration is hardest of all.
And it's also the issue, I believe, Your Excellency, when someone is praying and they're doing an introspection to communicate with God, it causes us to stop and see our brokenness. And when that brokenness, we don't like to be around our brokenness. So we say, we avoid the prayer. We said, look, that's going to be too painful to do that. I think some people, not everyone, but I think some people do that. What do you feel?
What you're saying is true in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer can be difficult, and one aspect of prayer, exactly as you say, is the ability to enter into ourselves, into our own inner realm. And some people don't like doing that. So prayer is sometimes painful.
If we believe, I've heard people say this to me, and that's why I'm going to ask you this, if we believe that God sees into our hearts and our minds, then some will ask the question, why do we pray? Doesn't he already know what's going on? Does he know what we're struggling with?
He does know what's going on. He does see into our hearts, but he wants us to tell him. He wants us to bring it into the open, to be honest with him. And this would bring us to another point about prayer. The aim of prayer is not to change God's mind, it is to change our mind. Mm. Some people say, why pray to God? He knows what is best for us. Why don't we just leave it to him? That's true. He does know what is best for us, and we don't know. But by praying, we are not so much making God agree with us, but through prayer, we are helped to make ourselves agree with God.
Then, Your Excellency, let me ask you this. I think these questions seem to follow each other, but is it wrong, then, for us to pray for specific things? Should we only be praying, thy will be done, God's will be done?
It is right, surely, to say, indeed, in all our prayer, thy will be done. but also it is good for us to pray for specific things. And pray not primarily for things. Our prayer is primarily for persons. Mm-hmm. So, yes, when we pray, we bring to God our concerns, what is distressing us. And it's important for us to bring this into the open before God. Our concern for other people, when we pray for another person, if our prayer is to have any real meaning, it must be a prayer offered with love for that person. We love the person, and we know that God loves them. God loves them far more than we do. God wants what is best for them. He doesn't need to be told by us what is best for them. But what we are doing when we pray to God for other persons is we are associating our love with God's love for that person. God loves them. We want to say in prayer that we love them too. And we are joining, therefore, our love to His. So what we are doing when we pray for other people is not to give God information He wouldn't otherwise have, mm-hmm. because He knows everything. And it's not to change His mind. We are not to imagine that He wouldn't want to help these people unless we prayed for them. Mm-hmm. But we are holding up these people in the stream of God's love. Mm-hmm. We associate our love with His. That's what we're doing when we pray for others.
And some people, of course, when they pray, they're looking out and they're wondering if God is going to answer their prayer. I have to tell you a little bit of, this is a very serious topic, but it is also a little bit comical. Once when I visited a home to bless it, the gentleman asked me, he said, "Father, would you bless my lottery ticket?" And I said, "Are you serious?" And he said, "Yes." He says, "I want to win, and if I win, I'll give a percentage back to the church." So I said to him, "Well, that sounds interesting. I've never had that proposition before. I don't believe that I can pray for this." I said, "But let me see your lottery ticket." He said, "Well, I haven't bought it yet, but I'll buy it if you'll bless it." And I said, "My friend, if you're not in the game, whether you're doing lottery tickets or praying, you're not going to gain anything from it. And the issue of prayer is something that it takes energy, it takes effort, doesn't it?"
"Yes, that's an interesting story." "Indeed, you're right. And yes, if our prayer is not answered, perhaps it has been heard by God, but He feels that what we're asking for won't necessarily be the best mm-hmm. thing for us.
Yes, yes.
He knows better than we do. I remember a story told by the Russian bishop who was in England for many years, Bishop Anthony of Suroj, Anthony Bloom, very well-known spiritual writer. And he told us the story of how when he was a boy, he was traveling with his uncle. And before the uncle went to bed, he took his false teeth out and placed his dentures in a glass of water. And every night, the future Bishop Anthony prayed to Christ, "Please give me this marvelous gift of being able to take out my teeth and put them in a glass of water." Well, later on in life, he was quite glad that prayer had not been answered.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit, Your Excellency, about spontaneous prayer. There are people who, of course, use their books, the Book of Prayer. I have that book. I use it. It's a beautiful blue book. It's rather tattered at this point, but it's something that I go to all the time. But then, of course, there's also the spontaneous prayer, where we fall before the awesome love of God, and we offer our thoughts to Him. Can you talk to us about that? spontaneous and also the reciting of prayers from a prayer book. How do we deal with that?
First, reciting prayers from a prayer book is an excellent thing to do. We are then praying with the church, using the words of prayer that the church uses, and that can form a model for our own praying. So that is one way of praying, and it is important, and particularly valuable are the Psalms. These have always been at the center of Christian prayer. But then, yes, there are other more spontaneous forms of prayer, and forms of prayer that involve more waiting on God rather than using a lot of words. And here I think of a prayer that is intermediate between prayer from the book and spontaneous prayer, and that is the Jesus prayer, the short invocation of our Savior by his holy name, Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. This is certainly a form of prayer widely recommended to Orthodox, widely used. The repetition of this prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And this is midway, as it were, between prayer from a book and purely spontaneous prayer. Mm-hmm. The danger with purely spontaneous prayer is it could be too subjective. Mm-hmm. It could be emotional in a bad sense. So there is a place for it. But I myself, when I want to have more the kind of prayer that doesn't use many words, that is just sitting and looking at God, I use the Jesus prayer. Sometimes our best moments of prayer are when we are entirely silent.
Yes.
But that is very difficult. Very soon our mind begins to wander and we begin to be assailed by distracting thoughts. And so then we need to take up again the words of prayer.
And for those, Your Excellency, this is a final question in this first segment of ours. For those who have no daily prayer routine, but they want to get started, what are some simple things or tips that they could do to begin their prayer life?
An important thing is to find a slot, a particular place in our daily program when we regularly pray, so that we don't just depend on the whim of the moment, on our passing emotions. For example, in my own practice, when I wake up, I go and wash, I dress, and then I turn to prayer. And so before I have my breakfast, before I look at the newspaper, open my letters, I have my slot for daily prayer. That may not be so easy when I'm retired, but when people have to go and work. Mm-hmm. But they could still arrange their morning in such a way that they would have a slot for prayer before they start their daily tasks. Waking up, we are fairly gathered. And then it's good to have a slot in the evening. Not necessarily last thing at night, when we may be very tired and drop off to sleep while we're trying to pray, but, for example, returning from our work before having our evening meal. Mm-hmm. But to have a regular place for prayer. This is so important in prayer. Faithfulness. We grow in prayer through constancy. We may not notice the growth, but if we pray day by day and find a particular place in the day when it's natural for us to pray, then we shall make progress with the help of God's grace.
Thank you very much.
Well, we've pretty much come full circle, ending where we began on this edition of Come Receive the Light, as we're in the middle of a four-part Lenten series dealing first with fasting, now with prayer. We'll come back next week with almsgiving and then wrap up the series with the subject of scripture memorization, all with our special guest, Metropolitan Callistos Ware. I hope you can join us. If you miss any of these broadcasts, you can always listen again when you go to our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Just click on the listen button there on the homepage. And remember, we're a nonprofit outreach. We do depend upon your financial support. There's a donate button on the homepage as well. Check that out. See how you might be involved. Pray about how you might participate with us financially. Join us next week if you can. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. And special thanks, as always, to our executive producer who does so much hard work, Ann Dankert. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.